London's LBC 97.3. 0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
Quite what I was after. Never mind. Right, here we go again. I'm Nick Abbott in for today, and then that's it for Sundays, right? Which is I don't know. Kind of exhausted. This is the second day in a row, 7 hours on the air. No one in the history of radio has ever done that, apart from me a few years ago when I used to do this. Also, this is what I was after. It's that last. It's just that someone has come in and removed his brain, which should be, concerning for all of us. I've got about 8 of those, and if you can guess all of them, I'll go out and buy you something with my money. Never in the history of British radio has anybody ever said that. Because they always, rely on the radio station to come up with prizes. Not only will I go out with my money and buy whatever you want, but I'll personally do it myself. I'll scour town, if necessary. So if you want to play the home game, just give us a ring. If not, then don't. So I go into work today at the other place where I play loud rock music. You wouldn't like it. And it's at 2 o'clock, Oxford Circus, right? There's this bloke. Every weekend, he's there. He sets up a PA system. Imagine this. You can go to Oxford Circus, the busiest interchange in the whole of London, and you can just stand there with a PA system. The Who themselves didn't have a PA system that was this loud. And he stands there for hours. I go in at 2, and he's giving it loads. And I come back at 6, and he's still there. I'm stunned by this. I thought, when I went in, I thought, oh, blimey, that bloke's there again. On and on and on he goes, and I couldn't, for a moment, imagine that we'd actually still be there when I got out. 4 hours later, he was still saying the same thing. Have you had Jesus into your life? Loud, really loud. I mean, this is incredible. There's one thing if people want to choose to go and have their own religion spoken at them in their the place of choice. That's fine. But ramming it down your throats where you don't have an option. I mean, imagine the people that have to work around there. They're surrounded by offices. This is in Oxford Circus. And he's got a PA system that he sets out there. Hello, have you... And he's kind of a weird guy. He looks like he should be tending a ride in a travelling fairground. Not the sort of bloke you'd want to meet after dark, for instance. And as he's saying things about Jesus, he's stabbing the air with his fists. It's just really upsetting. I don't get it. How on earth can, in the middle of London, you set up your own PA system and start shouting at people? And it's not just an isolated incident. He's there every weekend. That's got to be against the law, right? To me, that's him... doing violence to us. Oh, this is bad. Look, I'm stumbling for words. I haven't even started yet. That seems to be a verbal violence to us. Thousands and thousands of people are skirting around this bloke, trying to... Because he presents himself on the island where you cross Upper Regent Street. And you can't avoid him. If you're going to cross there, there's no way around of walking right by him as he's stabbing the air and asking you if you've... It's just in a really threatening manner. As though he's going to... I mean, he talks about Jesus as though he's offering you outside into the car park, like you spilled his pint. And people are just amazed. You see the open-mouthed expressions of the people who go by. I can't believe this is the middle of London. This guy's got his own... PA system. Why aren't the police using their truncheons to beat him to the ground? Why aren't they stomping his guts out? The taser! It's just a thought. I mean, do you have to make a an official complaint to get something done about it? Because Oxford Circus is not a stranger to police activity. They're all over the place, right? I mean, if not immediately visible, then they're parked just around the corner in case somebody nicks something out of Topshop or whatever it is, a Nike World. They'll be on you in a flash. So, I mean, they can't not notice this guy. Why aren't they speeding him from the scene in manacles? I just am confused. It's got to be against the law. So, do they have to wait till someone complains? Well, I'm complaining right now. Get rid of him. It's irritating. Every single weekend. I mean, how would it be, for instance, if I just went outside the police commissioner Blair's flat? I could set up outside his sixth floor penthouse. I could park myself on his balcony, set up my PA system, and then talk about, I don't know, I could talk about Joe Walsh. Have you let Joe Walsh into your life? His first four albums were great. So, anyway, I'm amazed. Every week, I'm amazed that he can get away with it. He's still there. He's a fixture every week. And right enough, there used to be a fixture of this nut who used to wander up and down Oxford Street with a less passion with less fish. Do you remember that guy? He used to hand out leaflets. I took one once, just out of curiosity. He used to parade up and down saying that the world would be a better place, or some such, if everyone was less passionate, i.e. sexual, and you would achieve such nirvana by eating less protein. I think that was his thing. Eat less protein, be less passionate, thumbs up all round. Up and down and up and down and up and down he would go, on a daily basis. But that was amusing, because he was obviously a bit, well, he was a loon, I can say that, without fear of consequence, because he's freshly dead now. And thank you, the deity of your choice, that we can, in this country, speak our minds about, at least we can speak our minds about dead people. It's illegal to speak our minds about anybody else. There's no such thing as free speech in this country, but at least we can say what we want about people who are dead. Oh, the amount of people who I can't wait to die. So I can say my bit. Shall I give you a list? 0870-9090-973. Let's go with our first call, which is in sunniest Bracknell. Geoffrey.
Yeah. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Can I say one thing about your name?
Go on.
I think you should be really a character in a Los Angeles 1930s detective, cinema story type thing. Nick Abbott hunts down the mafia. You remember those? I think you've got that kind of name, just Nick Abbott. You know, played by Humphrey Bogart. And Lauren Bacall's in the film as well.
Right. Humphrey Bogart would never have played any character called Nicholas.
It's kind of shortened, isn't it? Nick.
Can you believe that with a surname, Abbott, my parents called me Nicholas? I mean, what would that get you in school? I'm a Nicholas Abbott? It's a good job they didn't send me to a seminary.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about that, yeah. Or a brewery house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because there's a liquid refreshment called
Abbott Ale.
Exactly.
Spelt the same, yeah.
Yeah, that's strange.
I'm still waiting for my checks.
Well, you'd check trousers or what?
No, I don't play golf.
No, listen, why not this man? He's doing a good job.
Do you know the bloke I'm talking about?
No, I don't know him personally, but I can imagine him. I think he might have been featured on television. He's a man with a mission, isn't he, obviously?
He's he's an irritant. I can't say that he's a loon, he might not be, but he's an irritant. I could stand up in court. No jury in the land would convict me. He is an irritant. He's dressed in a leather jacket, looks like he found it at a bus stop. And he's punching the air, talking about Jesus, intimidating everybody in Oxford Circus, which is a lot of people. Every single weekend he's there. He's got a PA. Now, to just stand there and say it, there's probably no law against just speaking, but there's got to be a law against setting your own PA system up in the busiest interchange in London. That's ridiculous.
You think it might be noise pollution?
I don't know. Maybe set up the PA system for the Rolling Stones. They're coming into play later. Hey, Keith Richards fell out of a tree. Did you hear that?
Keith Richards fell out of a tree?
You didn't hear this? Oh, this is great.
Was he on drugs at the time?
I've got no idea. A rock star on drugs. I seriously doubt that.
Anyway, this is this man, obviously, look, he's got the message across, hasn't he? I just said to the nice lady at the end of the phone, who's obviously in the studio with you, look, this guy's been more effective than the Archbishop of Canterbury, isn't he? You know, because the Archbishop of Canterbury is paid by you know, the established Church of England to talk about this, to talk about the Christian religion, and he's failing to get his message across because people are not going to church. And this man, it's affected your life, hasn't he?
Yes, but when the Archbishop of Canterbury speaks, you think, oh, he's a nice man. When this bloke speaks, you think, I want to beat him to the ground with a stick.
Well, I think Peter Tatchell thought the Archbishop of Canterbury was a nice man. He got up in Canterbury Cathedral and shouted at him.
Well, that's a matter for Peter Tatchell. I think his problem was the Archbishop of Canterbury, was it? I think it was the church in general. Because then, well, I suppose the Archbishop of Canterbury is just reflecting the views of what they perceive to be the church in general. Good grief, we're not going to get into religion on this show now, are we?
No, you started it.
I started it. Oh, right. Here's another guy's offering me answers.
Well, are you complaining about the sort of... What's your big complaint? Is it the religious angle that you don't like someone, you know...
Both. First of all, I don't like someone shouting religion in my face. Not any religion, now or ever, anywhere, right? If I want to get religion, I'll go to where religion is, and then I'll have it thrust upon me by choice.
Right.
I don't want somebody shouting at it in my face. It's like pinning me to a wall and shouting Jesus at me. Don't want that. Secondly, I don't want it to be amplified.
Right. So you'll complain just as much if it's a Marxist kind of secular philosopher saying the social system is totally corrupt.
If it was a Buddhist saying that I should chill out, then I would be just as complaining if he was doing it with a microphone, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you might be happy with a Buddhist because he'd be just sitting there meditating, wouldn't he?
Right.
Getting his karma right.
I had trouble parking my karma today in Oxford Circus. I couldn't believe it when my karma was still there when I went back 4 hours later.
I know people make money out of your karma.
Do they ever? I said this a little while ago, and I'm absolutely certain this. Either I'm losing my brain, and I went on a fair ride in a place near Barcelona called Port Aventura. I think I lost a part of my mental function on one of the rides there. I did it 3 times. It's a big mistake, because I was feeling a little dizzy on the second time, and the third time around, I could barely stand up when I got off it. I've never been the same since.
Your chakras to be realigned.
Yeah, I'll it's just these trousers I'm wearing.
Well, what, can I just ask, because you're probably going to dump me in a minute.
Any moment now.
Right. What kind of things would have made you happy walking into Oxford Circus? Well, being a sort of an out-of-town boy, is that near Piccadilly Square? Or is it near Hyde Park Corner?
And how can you not know where Oxford Circus is?
Well, there are elephants in it. Zebras.
Okay, take a deep breath.
Yep.
Now hold it. 08709090973, this is LBC 97.3, and we're going away to come back.
London's LBC 97.3.
08709090973.
Nick Abbott.
So, seriously, I'm making an official complaint now. I want this bloke gone by next Sunday, because I will be there again next Sunday. He's probably there on Saturday as well. The only thing that's incredible, because that is a really busy interchange where people are trying to cross right on Oxford Circus and Upper Regent Street. Thousands upon thousands of people an hour are streaming through there, desperate to get their hands on a £100 pair of trainers from Nike World. Why in God's name do they cost so much, by the way? I mean, the actual ingredients of the shoes must cost, what, £1? At most. And they get made in, they don't get made in Italy, that's for sure. They get made in Malaysia and, you know, places in the map you've never heard of. So, the actual cost of a £100 training shoe must be, what, a fiver? And then they put it on a plinth, and they revolve the plinth around, and they charge you £150, and people are queuing out the door to get one. And every so often they come up with something else. Oh, it's got bubbles in it, or it's got we pumped air in it. Air's free. So this is an official complaint. Are you listening, Mr. Blair, the chief of police, whatever his name is? What's his name? Blair. Ian Blair. They had his flat in the paper today. Do you know he lives in a flat that they bought with our money that costs, guess how much? That's right, £1 million. With our money, they bought him £1 million flat. He lives in a penthouse on the river. Isn't that nice? And what good's he done lately? Keith Richards fell out of a tree. Did you hear this? Hang on a sec, I'll just take this call. Cheshire. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Nick. Hey, I'm a bit worried you won't be back next Saturday night.
No, Saturday, yes. Sunday, no.
You're probably going to hit this bloke over the head.
No, we pay our taxes. Somebody else should hit him over the head for us.
Hey, you know that last caller you had? Jeffrey.
Okay.
Well, Clive calls him Jeffro Dole from the countryside.
Right, well, that's a matter for Clive.
And you know, poor old Bob from Clive Ball's show? He's scared stiff you're going to come back, you know.
Honestly, no idea what you're talking about.
You
Who?
You must
what?
Remember Bob, the producer you worked with on Clive.
Oh, Bob, the producer? Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, I thought you were talking about caller.
Scared stiff he was of you.
No, he wasn't. He was fine.
Anyway, I'm in a bit of a quandary. I've lived in Chester now for 19 years.
Chester, that sounds nice. Sounds like steeples and trees and bushes.
Well, it's a nice city, but...
Got a bush?
But I originally come from London, you see.
Yeah.
And since I've been listening to LBC again, I've got a bit of a hankering to come back to London. So much so that I've been looking up places to buy in London. Now, should I go back? Should you ever go back?
Can you ever go back? How old are you?
45.
45. Probably not. You married?
Yes.
Children?
Yep.
No. Are they still living with you?
Yes.
Definitely not. First of all, you wouldn't be able... do you own your own place in Cheshire?
Yeah, I've got a house that's worth about £160,000.
£160,000? Well, I'll tell you what, you could come to London, you could buy a parking space, and you could live in the car. How's that?
Well, I've had a look in Thames Mead, and I don't know what that's like, but you
Thames
can get a place
Mead.
There for about £170,000.
Right, well, if you can get a place there for £170,000, it's almost certainly not a place that you'd want to live.
Right. Well, what's London like now?
Same as it ever was. Smelly, dirty, full of rude people, people coughing in your face on the tube. It's a total nightmare. Wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Right, and speaking of...
And when I say I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, I say that as somebody who lives in a place that's not really like London. If you can find a place in London that's not really like London, that's leafy and green and you can see a bit of water, then that is the best of all worlds, because at least you're within touching distance of civilization and, you know, art and all that sort of business that goes with the big city living. But you can also, you know, cosset yourself with a bit of... If you can get a bit of the country and drag it into London... And there's not many places in London that are like that. You either have to have £150 million in the bank, so you can buy yourself a garden,
yeah.
Or you can just luck upon a place next to a park somewhere. Why don't you try that? But with £160,000, there's no park that you could live anywhere near, believe me.
I mean, ideally, I'd love to live in Richmond, but I think that'd be outside my price.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You know what? There's houseboats... that are parked in the most fantastic places, in places that flats would cost you £1,000 a square foot, and they're virtually giving them away in comparison. You can buy a houseboat in Chelsea, there's probably houseboats in Richmond. Why don't you go and live on a houseboat?
Oh, well, that's an idea, isn't it?
That is an excellent idea.
Anyway, just to finish on, I heard...
What's that, Lucy? Hang on a sec. They're about 90,000. What are?
About 90,000 houseboats.
Oh, houseboats?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Would you consider a houseboat?
Yeah, I looked at a few sort of, what do you call them, narrow boats.
Yeah, because you know what? Well, no, narrow boats,
Do you pay council tax, though?
I've got no idea. You pay mooring fees. I think you've got to pay to park there.
Yeah.
Like, a traffic warden will come by with, you know, those things, that those inflatable arm bands. He'll come splashing by, and if you haven't paid your mooring fee, he'll slap a wet ticket on you.
Hey, I heard you the other day on a podcast talking about,
You heard me on a podcast?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was downloaded from your website, sorry.
Not my website. Be clear about this. It's not my website. It's other people's website.
A Nick Abbott forum website.
Right.
Anyway, on it, you were talking...
Perhaps you shouldn't say that. They've got podcasts.
Well...
That's probably illegal.
Something like that.
Right.
Anyway, on it, you were talking about wiping your hands when you come out of toilets.
Yes.
And basically, when anyone in our work comes out of toilets, we use a tissue to wipe the handles with. In fact, now, we even wipe the toilet taps before we use them.
Well, that's an excellent idea, because if you think about it, what are the dirtiest things in a toilet? Probably not the actual toilet itself. It'll be the flush button or lever, because what's the first thing you touch after, exactly, the flush button? The second thing will be the tap.
Yeah, then you wash your hands.
And then you turn the tap off with your hands, thereby
get dirty in yourself.
Yeah, exactly,
again.
Yeah.
So I thought that was...
Re-icking yourself.
A good point to end on.
Don't worry about wiping them for other people. Just take a tissue and then everything you touch in the toilet... God, son, sound like Hugh Hefner here. You touch it with the you open the door with a tissue. I now, this is pathetic, take a tissue and open the door with it. Or if none is available, if they've got those awful hot hand-blowed things that just sprays concentrated puke all over your hands, you pull your sleeve down, or in the absence of a sleeve, untuck your shirt and do it.
Yeah, do you know...
And if you're not wearing a shirt, then, well, you shouldn't be in the supermarket anyway.
Yeah, you know, on the inside of our toilets, where I work...
I don't, actually, funnily
well,
enough.
Well, it actually says that you can get hepatitis something, you can get AIDS, and you can get anything else from not washing your hands and touching somewhere on the in the cubicle.
AIDS.
Yeah, honestly, I'm joking. Seriously.
Well, you may not be joking, but I think somebody is having a laugh. But anyway, whatever you do, wash your hands always afterwards and before and during. Well, maybe not during. Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Bye.
Ta-ta. Be clean and decent, honest and true. Always. Will you do that for me? Yes? No?
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Let's go with, have we got time? Yes, we probably do. How about one in... Why is Stephen still there in Cheshire? He's gone, surely. He's rang back. I'm confused. Who should I go to next, Lucy?
Philip.
Oh, she did it for me. Philip.
Good evening, Nick.
South Norwood.
You were talking
What's that like?
This guy up in London that...
Never mind, just press on.
For want of a better word, is a street evangelist.
Yeah, all right, that's what... yeah, let's call him that then, sure.
One of the...
street irritant.
One of my greatest pleasures when I go to America is a Sunday morning, putting on the television and having a jolly good laugh watching these evangelists selling religion on television.
You don't have to go to America, they're on Sky. If you go up into the exotic channels, up into the thousands...
I must admit, we used to get them, and it really is a great pleasure for a couple of hours to watch the various evangelists at work, and...
why do they always say, at the end of every word, duh?
Yeah, my favourite is the relative of Jerry Lee Lewis, Jimmy Swaggart.
Jimmy Swaggart is a relative of Jerry Lee Lewis?
Yeah, he's a cousin. Yeah, but he was featured in the film, the character's featured in the film Great Balls of Fire. And Jimmy Swaggart is, he became a sort of evangelist. He still sings country music, this guy. And
didn't he get arrested for some financial irregularity?
That's right.
Can you believe that there are people practicing Jesus on television and asking you to send them your money in order that they may pray for your soul? Who are actually using your money to feather their own nest? Isn't that incredible?
I tell you, the one that I think a lot of people will remember was a guy called Garner Ted Armstrong. Now, Garner Ted Armstrong is featured in a famous singing group song. Have you heard of the Bonzos? Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, Nick?
Yes.
Do you remember the song, the intro and the outro?
Intro, outro song, yes.
Well, the name of the vocalist is listed as Garner Ted Armstrong.
No, but surely,
I know it was Vivian Stanford. But, as you know, in the song...
Barely finish a sentence with this bloke.
They feature all these amazing people, supposedly, on the, you know, General de Gaulle, Princess Anne.
Yes.
On the song. Well, the vocalist is said by Vivian to be Garner Ted Armstrong.
Right.
And I once had the chance to speak to Neil Innes on a phone-in, and I asked him why he'd chosen Garner Ted Armstrong. And he said that, like myself, he used to get such a laugh out of watching these evangelists that he chose that name for the vocalist on the song.
Well, you live and learn, eh?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, there's another guy on there called Jack Van Impey, who's got a wife called Roxella.
Right. And that's strange because...
Well, I mean, it's an unusual name for a start.
I wish I hadn't asked now.
And even more strange is to see what he's doing. He's combining politics with religion. So you get all these the right-wing politics mixed in with Jesus is going to save you, but, you know, we've got to go out and bomb somebody. there's so many of the women evangelists are great as well. There's a very, very tall, stern-looking woman called Joyce Meyer. I think they show her over here on that Sky channel you're talking about. Flipping, she scares the life out of me when I see her.
Well, you spend a lot of time watching this stuff.
No, it's just that, when I've been in America, I've watched the programs, and I think it's very, very interesting over the years the way that evangelists have gone onto television, let's say to make money or to win converts, you know. But it's just such an interesting thing to see, you know.
Right.
I'm just glad we don't have, we have got a channel over here, haven't we, a radio channel.
Well, you don't need a channel, all you need to do is open your window and you'll be able to hear this bloke loud and clear, broadcasting from the centre of Oxford Circus to the circles of your mind.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
Nick Abbott.
0870-9090-973. Well, I thought I was weird. Lucy just handed me the thing. Is this one of the things that you carry around in your handbag?
Yes.
Do you actually have a handbag?
I do, yeah.
You don't seem like the sort of person, but I guess all women have handbags, right? Because they don't have pockets.
One.
A chunky handbag.
Yeah.
Right. Are you the sort of person who buys another handbag every 6 months? I'll take that as a yes. So it's a thing called, it's like a hand spray. Kills 99.8% of all germs. That's right. Great. What about the 0.02% that's going to kill you? Because if 0.20% of the germs that this thing is sprayed on can survive, then those are the ones that are really dangerous, right? You spray it on your hands. Warning, do not spray... do not spray in your eyes. I mean, can you believe that they actually have to put that stuff on things now? I mean, I'm amazed it doesn't say do not spray on your cat and set light to it. Because somebody will, and then they'll sue them for compensation. Instant hand sanitizer. Use any time, any place, without towels. Non-drying, alcohol-free, leaves hands feeling refreshed. Naturally moisturized, without stickiness. Hands up who doesn't like stickiness. Oh, that's everybody. Kills. E. coli, Salmonella, Pseudomonas. I mean, you didn't even know you had to get rid of those. And 99.8% of all germs in seconds. Also, peels the skin off your hands. You're perfectly safe with that. You know what you want to spray that on? Your keyboard at work. You know what the filthiest thing in an office is? And it's not the toilet. It's the keyboard that you work at, and the mouse thing. What do you call these things? Mice. Is the plural of a mouse a mice? I mean, I know the actual animal, but
meese.
Is it? So speaks our engineer. Oh my God, we're doomed. Is the plural of computer mouse mice? Surely not.
Mouses. Mouses, I would probably guess, but it sounds wrong, doesn't it, because of the animal?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, we'll think about that, eh? But not for too long. Let's have one in Enfield. Hey, did you hear that Keith Richards fell out of a tree? Hey, Tony.
Hello there.
Tony.
Yes. This street evangelist, driving a London cab, I drive past him on Oxford Circus, and I have opportunity of having a few words with him. By asking him, where is he? Because he talks about Jesus, you know, as if he lives up in Hampstead or Belgravia.
This guy lives in Hampstead?
No, I'm saying, where is he? I says, where is
oh,
he?
Oh, right, where's Jesus?
Why, why don't he get down here and sort this lot out,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Then he can start with him, yeah.
Yeah, and then he starts saying one or two derogatory things about licensed London cabbies, but I find it right, it's a bit of like banter, really, but I think he's there more of a... also of a weekday, apart from weekends. And there's a lady that's joined him on the island on Regent Street. So he's on the sort of north side of the island on Regent Street, and she's on the south side bit. So And I'm seeing the alternative weekends or weekdays now.
Oh, blimey, it's like dueling banjos for the religious types.
And really, it's absolutely, I think there must be some bylaw that they break. But getting back to evangelists in America, I think I find it rather, I can fall off the chair to listen to these evangelists in America because they use God as a defense mechanism, like God bless America. And when you think of all the bombings and wars and poverty and deprivation in America, on how on earth they can talk about Jesus, it defies belief. But that's what they do in my mind. They use God, Jesus, as a defense mechanism, you know. And we know what's happening in Iraq and all the rest of it. So they don't get any change. I mean, I've had them in the cab and they say to me, Jesus isn't. I still have never met one of them. You know, I've never met a Christian.
So when you're going by this guy, do you ever get the urge to mount the pavement?
Well, no, I do too much damage to the cab.
Right.
But let me say this. I was on foot one time doing some shopping in John Lewis and I come out and I actually went up to him and I says, you know, this is really... But this chap, he said, look, he says, our office is just there, he says, and we can't even hear ourselves speak sometimes with your speaker. So there was exactly what you were saying, Nick. There was a complaint, a verbal complaint, by a chap, booted and suited, one of the office people there, and he says, you know, we can hear your voice and that bloody microphone speaker thing.
Right, well, why can't the police do something about it? I don't get it.
Well, I suppose nobody's ever made a complaint. I mean,
I'm making a complaint. I'm making a complaint to the whole of London right now. I want him out.
Well, you've got my support, but as I say, when they talk about Jesus, and I mean, I'm coming from an atheistic point of view anyway, but I always say, where is he? And they talk about Jesus, and half the world starving to death, the other half's bombing each other because they've got too much. They talk about Jesus.
All right, thanks a lot, Tony.
Okay.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. If you want to get cheered up, talk to a London cabbie. Oh, come on. Hey, you know, very very shortly, it'll be the 6th of the 6th, 666, it's coming right up. Are we scared yet? Is anybody nervous in any way? In America, they're running to the exits, screaming. For one group of expectant mothers, they're due, because people are going to give birth on the 6th of the 6th, 6th. For one group of expectant mothers, their due date holds an extra dimension of dread. The prospect of giving birth on June the 6th has prompted talk of spawning devil children on Armageddon Day. A British self-help group that usually exchanges routine tips on parenting has turned its attention to the dangers of the date, 6606, marked by the satanic symbol. Hollywood and the worldwide entertainment industry is, by contrast, giving it massive smiles. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to turn evil into gold. Leading the charge? That's right, Rupert Murdoch. 20th Century Fox's remake of The Omen. Why do you want to remake The Omen? Has everybody seen it? Like, what's the point? So they've totally run out of ideas, haven't they? It's like on the London stage, they've run out of ideas, and all they ever do is put on versions of films we've already seen. And with the single exception of Chicago, which is so much better than that awful film they made of it, which won the Academy Award, didn't it? They must have made them an offer they couldn't refuse. Terrible. The stage show is great. Every other stage version of a musical that you've already seen the film of is pants. Why would you want to spend 50 quid or whatever it is to go and see those now? But now they're remaking old films because they just flat out run out of scripts. So The Omen is going to be released again. You haven't seen the posters for it yet, but because every poster site in the whole of town is taken up with Tom Cruise's pensive face. It's coming on June the 6th. In America, the marketing of the apocalypse is well underway. Slayer, one of America's most popular heavy metal rock groups, will start its Unholy Alliance tour, subtitled Preaching to the Perverted. And inevitably, the internet is awash with frenzied doomsday speculation. While some Armageddon believers fear that 6606 will be a day of satanic power that may be marked by a comet hitting the Earth, others, maybe it'll hit him. What do you think? Because if I'm irritated, you'd think that, God above would be like, this is the man that's representing me on Earth? Surely not. It looks like he should be spinning the cabins on a Wurzel. What do they call those things? Wurzel flyers. What do they call them? You know, the Wurzel. The thing that makes you sick at a travelling fair. The waltzer. Not the words, the Wurzels, they had a hit with I'm a Cider Drinker. Everyone's a cider drinker now. I've been drinking cider for my entire adult life. So I don't really, let's face it, beer doesn't taste that great. Are there any beer companies advertising with us right now? If so, everyone should have at least, 10 pints a day. It'll make the world just, it'll make your day spin right by. But cider is my typical choice, and now suddenly it's fashionable. And so I'm, hesitant about asking for it in pubs, because people think, he's just climbing on the bandwagon. Now they're serving it with ice. You don't put ice in cider. That's ridiculous. It's just another gimmick, like they had that beer that came over that you put a lime in. And right enough, it was the first time that anybody in this country had ever seen a lime, because previous to Sol coming over, Sol was the beer, right? You couldn't buy and they certainly never had one in a bar. Revolutionised bars in this country, so it did. Suddenly they, because it used to be a slice of lemon so thin you could read newsprint through it. And now they had actual wedges, which was incredible. I couldn't believe it when I thought, because you'd expect in this country, previous to that, they're very, because we're not used to fruit. We don't grow it, we have to import all of it. Apart from apples and pears, which you can never find in the supermarket, they always import apples and pears from New Zealand, which seems to be insane to me. Try finding British produce in your local supermarket. It doesn't exist. Maybe we send it to New Zealand and they send out their stuff to us, thereby doing their bit to save the environment. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, on one popular evangelical website last week, a rapture index that calculates the likelihood of the Lord's arrival stood at 156, which the website declared was time to fasten your seatbelts. By contrast, another website claimed that the Antichrist had already arrived and is preaching to the perverted in... Never mind. He is supposedly George, which is six letters, Walker, also six letters, Bush Jr., six letters, the president, whose name adds up to 666. The violence and destruction that began when Bush first entered office is now certain to culminate in the apocalypse, as predicted in the Bible over 2,000 years ago, warned Stephen Hanschett of his Bush... antichristblogspot.com.
Absolutely.
The 666 phenomenon is based on a disputed passage from the Book of Revelation, which in several popular versions declares that the number of the beast to be 666. Although some biblical scholars claim that there was a mistranslation and the number should be 616, which is the train that leaves Waterloo, so packed that you can't get a seat. The majority of Americans may well conclude that if the last 6606, which was in 1906, failed to end in apocalypse, they might survive this one too. But the current vogue for horror films suggests that omens for foxes, omen 666, may be bright, whatever the release date. Unless, of course, anyone notices the numerological significance of fox, as one contributor to Ariana Huffington's blog. This is this blog from this posh woman in the States, right? And everybody's very upset about it because it's anti-government. Ariana Huffington. Google that if you can be bothered to spell out such a gigantic name. She pointed out that last week that F is the sixth letter of the alphabet, O is the 15th letter, and 1 and 5, 15, equals 6, and X is the 24th letter, 2, 4. 2 plus 4 is 6. Could Fox be the studio of the beast?
Good day, mate.
London's LBC 97.3
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
Hey, did you hear that Keith Richards injured himself? I'll get to that in a minute. First off, it's Kilburn. Hello, Donette.
Hello.
Donette. I've never heard of anybody in my life called Donette. It so- sounds like a small Don. You're not related to the family, are you?
Which the small Don? No. I think my ear is burning from sitting on the phone so long.
You know what? When you sit on the phone and you're waiting on the phone, after a while you realise that you're pressing the phone into your head with great force, and you didn't realise it. Yeah. Funny that.
Nicholas, how many people are in Oxford Street, Oxford Circus?
56,000 a day.
Oh, that's... I'm not talking about the streets, I'm talking about just Oxford Circus.
Right, a boatload.
Because how long did it take Jesus to preach to 3,000 about the fishes and the loaves, and he didn't use any electronics?
Yeah, you're quite right, Donette.
That man is an exhibitionist, he's an extrovert, he's offensive, and he doesn't enhance the image of the Christ at all.
You know what, he doesn't enhance the image of London either. Come on,
no.
Mayor Ken Livingstone, will you do something about it? You try to get rid of those people that sell those hot dogs on the street, and we know what they're made of, don't we? You turn a pig around and you're looking at it.
Okay.
So we tried to get rid of those, and just the smell of them, it's just appalling. And they used to set up on the bridge, you know, the embankment bridge? You know those lovely white embankment bridges with the blue lights on top? It's beautiful. They haul their carts up onto them. How they get them up there, I've got no idea, but they do. On the South Bank as well, they do that.
Yes, but Nicholas, on the one hand...
Can you call me Nick? Oh. Only my parents call me Nicholas.
Okay. Nick, on the one hand, they're working really hard and other people are just lying around pushing you for money in the street. They don't ask you for money. They're offering you something.
Yeah, but he's repellent. Like this bloke, he's repellent. But at least he doesn't... Well, I haven't got close enough. No one can. The volume beats you back. I've got no idea what he smells like.
If he's standing outside a shop that I want to go into, I actually detour and go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, you think that Nike would be really upset because, you know, people who shop at Nike aren't really... You'd think that on average they're not really interested in being shouted at about Jesus in their face.
Well, they're probably...
Nike customers are probably not the type of people who go to church a lot.
Those are the ones he's aiming at.
Well, do you think he's, specifically targeting people who wear Nike?
Nike.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
He must be breaking some bylaw.
Yeah, he's got to be. Who's on the other side? H&M. Oh, they're probably just like him. Yeah.
And that shoe shop, is it Shelly's Shoes?
Shelly's, yeah. Benetton. Oh, they're all going to hell. All of those people. Yeah.
But you know, I used to be a raving Pentecostal myself, but it was his type that changed my mind, and I just turned away from it all. Couldn't do it.
But it's so aggressive as well. It's not like, excuse me, have you accepted Jesus into your life? It's almost as though he's threatening to punch Jesus into your life.
Sometimes I wish somebody would trip up and push that megaphone down his throat.
Well, someone should get him with a cattle prod or something, or just put him in the boot of a car and drive him out into Essex.
Yeah.
I mean, MI5, surely that's something that they can do. Tony Blair has them do that sort of stuff all the time, doesn't he? Drive people out in the middle of a field, never heard of again. They committed suicide.
I had a cider in New Haven yesterday.
Did you? How was it for you?
It was good, because I don't drink the commercial ciders. I like bottled cider.
Well, what's not commercial about that?
It's commercial, but it's pure, I think. Whereas, you know, the others that are in cans and... I don't think they're as nice as the ones that come in bottles.
I used to work at a pub.
I get a headache.
I used to work in a pub, and you know what you do at the end of the night?
What?
You go around the table, because people don't finish their pints, right? So there's quite a lot of beer left in a pub at the end of the night.
Uh-huh.
And you go around the tables, and you put all the beer, without discrimination, without separating them into different types of beer, into a bucket.
Yeah.
Guess where you take the bucket? That's right.
By the pump.
Into the cellar. And then you use a funnel... Because you can push the seal of the barrel open with a funnel, and you can pour the bucket of slops back into the barrel for the delectation of the first customer the next day.
That's probably why so many people rush to get into the pub.
But the one thing they didn't put back was cider, because there's not a lot of slops with cider, because it doesn't spill out as you're pulling a pint. And not many people drink it, so it's hardly worth their while. But you can come down of after a day's serving with buckets of beer, and back it goes.
And you know what the other thing I wanted to tell you?
So, by the way, Donette, you're quite right. Only drink out of bottles. Oh, and never in a supermarket take bread that is not wrapped. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
ever.
I don't eat bread. It gives me stomach ache.
Oh, right.
I eat pita bread.
Pita bread?
Yes, it's got half the calories as well.
Of all the things in all... no, it doesn't.
It has.
Right. Well, I stand corrected.
The last they said, sir.
Huh. But it's not interesting. I mean, so, you know, bread is, bread can be interesting, apart from pita bread, which flat out isn't.
No, you pop the pita into the toaster. When it comes out, it's swollen. Then you have to get a tissue to hold it, and you slice it open, and then you push everything inside. It's delicious. Bananas on hot pita. Delicious.
Okay. Have you ever tried bananas and jam and peanut butter?
I love jam and peanut butter, but not with bananas.
Oh, yeah, bananas. It's the cherry on the cake, so to speak. It's the banana on the sandwich. Literally.
Do you know what else I wanted to tell you?
Wait a minute, it's coming to me? No.
Okay. I saw a man on the tube the other day. He was covering the handrail with a tissue before hanging onto the handrail for dear life.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, pretty soon I'm going to be walking around with, like, the Queen, with white gloves. Maybe that's why the Queen wears white gloves, because, you know, where can she... You should send this to the Queen. What's it called? No germs. I'm going to send it to the Queen. I'm going to go around the palace, knock on the front door. Excuse me, Your Majesty. How are your hands?
And the other thing is, Nick, why don't they have, you know, at the base of the toilet bowl, they should have a push pedal.
Yes, I've seen those abroad. Yeah, you're quite right.
I've been into some...
Similarly with taps.
Some hand basins have got push pedals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good idea.
Yes.
And doors should open as you approach. Apart from cubicle doors. That would be a mistake. We can make an exception there.
Please get rid of that man.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Thank you. You've got my full support.
Okay, cheers, Donette.
Thank you.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
What a nice lady. 0870-9090-973. Let's go with Chingford. Amma.
Hello?
Amma.
Hello?
Hey, Amma.
You know before when you mentioned Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Funny you should talk about that, because me and my sister were just debating pictures of him in a magazine.
Right.
And you know before when you were talking about...
What kind of a magazine was it, by the way?
It was, Hello Magazine.
Oh, right, nothing that came in plastic, okay.
And... You know before when you were talking about, toilet door handles?
Yeah.
Well, in my school, the ones there are really dirty.
I can imagine, yeah.
And sometimes when my friends go out, and I'm still in the toilet, when I come out, the door's shut, and I spend half my playtime waiting for someone to come in.
For someone to come in so that you can go out. You are a freak. Has anybody ever told you that?
yeah, a few times. A
couple of times, all right. Something to think about. All right, cheers, Amma. Tata, you're holding the phone, by the way. You know what kind of germs that you find on the phone?
Nick Abbott.
Okay, I'm going to need a lot more assistance than this. 0870-9090-973. This is the second day in a row that I've been on the air for 7 hours, which has never been done before. Although, I drove in... And I was listening at LBC and Steve Allen was on. He is funny. How can one man dislike so much for such a long period of time? He makes me laugh. He hates everything. I was talking yesterday about, the old word for radios is tranny. And I was saying, you know, not an actual transvestite. But you know what? I bet you could pick up the Steve Allen show on a transvestite. What do you think? So anyway, I was going into work to do a 4-hour shift playing loud rock music. You'd hate it. And Steve Allen was on. He was going on about the cruises. You know this cruise, the world's biggest cruise liner, docked in Britain for the first time? And he was quite right. The BBC were giving it an advert, basically. Which they do all the time. You watch that stupid BBC Breakfast News, which I can't bear anymore. I've started to watch Sky News, and when they go for ads, I watch CNN. Because BBC Breakfast News is just flat out the stupidest news programme on television. I just can't bear it anymore. You know, you just to sit there with open... Like, it irritates me at the beginning of my day. I haven't even got through my cereal, and I'm furious already. thinking about how much of my money they're spending on this tripe. But anyway, they gave a gigantic advert to the world's largest cruise liner, which docked in Britain for the first time. A 15-deck Freedom of the Seas, it was called. It arrived at Southampton before blah, blah, who cares? And on and on and on and on they went. And it was an advert. And Steve Allen was quite right, and he went on to describe his his experience on board ship. Okay, here's a tip. Never go on a cruise. Ever. You're stuck on a boat with people who have chosen to go on a cruise. Why would you want to do that? At least on land, you can get in the car and flee. You can change hotel, but mid-sea, you can't change boats. Just don't do it. Got to be a bad idea. But, so the breakfast news thing, that's what I was talking about. It's, I don't know, it's just become completely unwatchable. Obviously, someone at the BBC has gone to America and seen these chummy news shows in the morning over there. And what works in America doesn't necessarily work here. Especially when you've got people who are trained as journalists who are now trying to come across as chummy as Eamon Holmes. And you know what? Eamon Holmes is actually very good on Sky News. He's much more watchable, although he's in a set that looks like he's on the Starship Enterprise. The set is so bad. And every now and again, they have the world's campus man. Graham Norton, sit down. Not you. It's a guy called Neil Sean, who bounces up and down like he's being electrocuted constantly. It's painful. Yeah, if you think that that Larry Grayson and I've just mentioned his name, but I've forgotten it. Graham Norton, who protested his innocence about campery the other day, says, well, "What me camp? No, they're shoehorning me into being camp. I'm really John Wayne in disguise." But this Neil Sean or whatever his name is, oh man, he's got to go. But Eamon Holmes is great. How can Sky News be a more intelligent watch than the BBC in the morning? Amazing. But the best thing about... Oh, I haven't got any time for this now. Okay. Well, like Steve Allen, I'll come back ranting just as I am now. I'll hold on to a head of steam. I'll put a lid on it and come back at you after... Well, it's going to be the bad news, really, isn't it? How's Wayne Rooney?
Available on DAB Digital Radio. London's LBC 97.3.